There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
And welcome to Generations, my friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director of Christian Home Educators, also a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, not a professional. So if you're looking for a professional, a psychologist, a lawyer, a political professional, whatever, you've come to the wrong program. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm a father, and I'm not a professional. I'm just trying to figure out how to raise five children out here in the plains of Colorado. Dave, you're not a professional either.
You didn't go to the professional radio school?
No, I didn't.
Go to, like, Columbia School of Broadcasting?
No. Didn't do any of that. No, not a professional, my friends. Just a father trying to figure out how to raise children in the 21st century. But, you know, there's this concept out here that it takes a professional. I got a brochure a couple of months ago from an organization that's trying to establish a school somewhere in the Castle Rock area here in Colorado, and they were trying to tell everybody that, you know, you can't homeschool your kids. You can't do this kind of stuff. Whatever you do, don't homeschool them. You can't do it. Moms and dads, don't touch it. Don't touch it. And here's the quote. And by the way, all these brochures were written by a PhD or EDD. There were EDDs, PhDs, FDDs, XDDs, and HDDs. There were a lot of EDs writing these brochures. Dave, you have to understand, professionals, they know what they're talking about, okay? Here it is. There is a misjudgment among some circles that a teacher does not need to be university trained or carry the appropriate credentials. Unqualified persons should not perform brain surgery, and they shouldn't teach either. Don't even try it. Don't touch it. Don't do this at home. Whatever you do, don't do this at home.
Are they doing brain surgery there?
No.
I mean, is this a medical school?
No. This was a K-12 school.
And they were doing brain surgery?
I don't know. Unqualified people shouldn't be doctors, is saying, and they most certainly should not attempt to mold the minds of the next generation. Leave it for the professionals. Dave, this mentality has been around since Rousseau dumped his five children on the steps of an orphanage, then wrote the book Emile on how to educate a child in the 21st century or the modern age. Rousseau abandoned his children because his whole premise was it takes a professional. Leave it to the professionals. Dave, and you know, this guy wrote the book on modern education, and we have followed Rousseau ever since. And I'm talking about Christians, non-Christians, I'm talking the world over, just about the entire world has gone hell-bent towards whatever Rousseau said. And Rousseau said it takes a professional, yet in the face of the data, you know what the data says? The data says homeschoolers do way better than professionals do. 25, 30 percentile points above the 50 percentile point on nationally standardized tests. Homeschoolers do excellent work, and they win spelling bees, they win geography bees, they take home more full-ride scholarships by percentage than the mass population. Homeschoolers do excellent work, and Dave, they've even compared homeschoolers whose parents are certified to those who aren't certified, and guess what the difference is between the academic performance of the kids whose parents are certified versus those who aren't certified? There is zero statistically significant difference in the academic performance of these doofus parents who don't have a college degree, certainly no teacher degree, and yet they're doing excellent work educating their children. Dave, in the face of the data, guys like these PhDs and EDDs will say it takes a professional. Now,
continue with the analogy a little bit. You don't want unqualified people doing brain surgery. I completely agree. And if you're doing brain surgery, go to a qualified brain surgeon. However, it doesn't take a doctor to put on a Band-Aid. It doesn't take a doctor to give an aspirin. And preventative maintenance and raising a child, you know, daily meals and exercise, it doesn't take a doctor to do that. What does it take? It takes a relationship. It takes a parent. Nobody puts a Band-Aid on a boo-boo as good as a mommy. I mean, nobody can do that. So if you're doing brain surgery and say your child is studying to drop missiles out of a fighter jet, by all means, send them to the academy.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't teach that at home. But if you're teaching your child to fear God, to walk in his ways, to have some diligence, to learn how to read and write, by all means, do it at home.
But as we followed Rousseau, Dave, what happened is we began to specialize everything. We began to specialize even the things that God designed, things like mothers and fathers and pastors. And instead of pastors, we get a marriage counselor who gets $200 an hour. What's the difference? The difference is the pastor has a long-term relationship where he's pastoring and shepherding a flock. The marriage counselor makes $200 an hour talking about the same subject every single day. Dave, I think the difference is in terms of breadth and depth. What you get in the modern age is no breadth, no depth, but a lot of specialization. People get specialized in little tiny slots, but they certainly can't relate to people in relationships because relationships have breadth and depth to them.
Well, what you're talking about is a Marxist view of the world, Karl Marx, where there's an exchange of goods and services happening. It is as if to say, Johnny, clean your room. Well, Mommy, I will if you pay me a quarter. So everything has a good, has an exchange rate. Now, when you go to a marriage counselor, you're paying him a fee. When you go to a pastor, the pastor is to shepherd. He is to keep the sheep for the head shepherd for Christ. He is not doing it for fee. Now, the Bible does say that you should pay your pastors, but he's not doing that for the pay. He's doing that because he loves the sheep and he loves his Lord. But the counselor, the marriage counselor, he's not required to account himself to God for how he loves that sheep. All he is doing is giving some advice and collecting a fee. There is a totally different worldview undergirding these two approaches.
Ladies and gentlemen, taking on the myth, it takes a professional to raise and educate a child. The Word of God puts it at the feet of parents. Not talking about adults that go to college and get an adult education by way of delegation. We're talking about children here. We're talking about what God says about children in Ephesians 6:4. You shall give your children the paideia of the Lord. And that was said to fathers. And parents are to teach their children God's word as they sit in their house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. The entire book of Proverbs is God's book, God's curricula on raising a child. By the way, character is preeminent throughout it. But who is the teacher in the book of Proverbs? Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, repeated again and again. It's a father talking to his son, and it's a mother talking to her son in chapter 31. The biblical norm for educating and training a child and his character is the parent. It's not to be delegated. The biblical norm is the parent. The exception is delegation, my friends. And yet what's happened in the modern age is we have seen the family utterly disintegrate. We've seen motherhood and fatherhood just fall away. And, Dave, I think a lot of this is because it's hard to be a mother. It's hard to be a father. My wife tells me this all the time. She was a nurse. She was a registered nurse before we got married. And she says, man, it was so much easier to just go to work and do my own little narrow thing that I did every single day than to be a mother and have to develop all these relationships and invest all of these emotions and deal with, little medical issues and deal with teaching them all these different things in life. Teaching them biology. She's teaching Emily chemistry right now. That's a tax I know on her. She's sitting beside Abigail because Abigail's seven years old, and she's learning reading and learning how to add. She's got to do addition and subtraction. She's got to plan out the family's finances, the meals, and other things. And she's dealing with all these different aspects of life as a mother. So much easier to be a registered nurse. I mean, Dave, think about it. What is more difficult, being a father or going to some dumb job and being a database maintenance technician all day long, doing the same thing every day? Let's face it, relationships are tough, and they require broad and depth in experience, and that's difficult. That is a challenge, a tremendous challenge. No wonder nobody wants to be a mother and mother their children for 18 years. No wonder nobody wants to be a father and sit down and teach God's word to their sons as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. No wonder people don't want to do this. It's tough. It's hard. Much easier to just define yourself as a database maintenance technician.
Now, you know that I worked with relational databases, and that's what they called them, relational databases. And yet those relationships are pretty fixed and they're pretty easy. When you tell a table to update, it generally does it the very first time. When you tell your child to clean their room, they generally don't do it the first time.
Folks, taking on this myth, it takes a professional to raise a child. And so what we do is we dump them into professional daycares where there are professional people trained in psychology. There are counselors. There are educators. There are bureaucrats. There are professionals. These people are trained to raise children But as it turns out, God was smarter than Rousseau, and I would say also a little more loving than Rousseau, because God never dumped five of his children on the steps of an orphanage. But God is smart enough to hardwire parents, mothers and fathers, to train children and to educate children. And my friends, that's why homeschoolers, yeah, doofuses that never got any teaching degree, sometimes in many cases, just a high school diploma, moms and dads are raising their kids and they're averaging 25 to 35 percentile points above the national average for 50 percentile on nationally standardized tests. And my friends, it's because it doesn't take a professional. What it takes are people who understand what it takes to raise a child. I would include in that the maximizing on the principle of individuality. I'm just going to go over a couple of these things. They're in my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Children. And the principle of individuality is essential. You've got to understand that every child is created uniquely and differently. And if you put them in a system that is just cranking kids through this system because it's centralized and standardized the process, if you put them in that process, then you're going to find a lot of junk coming out the other end. This is one reason why schools fail and why schools are so miserably unsuccessful at achieving anything near what homeschools can do. Homeschools will tailor make that education, that process, the content, even the method of education to that child's individual talents and abilities and learning styles. And this can happen because a parent is in that relationship with that child and can take the time to do just that. You can't do it when you've got a system that has been so centralized in the school districts. No, make that the State Department of Education. No, make that the Federal Department of Education that was established in 73. We've had nothing but centralization and standardization, and this is ruining, utterly ruining, an entire generation of children, generations of children, just simply because we are standardizing and centralizing instead of respecting God's principle of individuality. He did not make all children alike. He made them all radically different, and we have to take that into consideration as we raise our children. But also, homeschooling maximizes on the principle of relationships, and we just brought this out. Relationships, that's the core issue. That's the very, very core issue in the education of a child, because a child isn't just a widget processed through an assembly line, and a child is not a computer hard drive where you're just packing facts into their brains and hoping somehow they're all going to stick. A child is a human being, made in the image of God, capable of relationship. Yeah, I know Rousseau didn't want a relationship with his children. He didn't want that. But that's the way God made children, in relationship. And when you've got a system that moves children through different classrooms and different teachers in any given day or any given year, you don't have this concept of relationships maximized upon in the education of a child. It is not happening. It's not happening. They could care less about relationships, parent-teacher relationships, in the average school. I'm not saying there aren't schools out there where that teacher-child relationship is cultivated and relationship is maximized upon, but I'm saying for the most part, it's homeschooling that maximizes on principles like relationships and individuality. Ladies and gentlemen, homeschooling works. That's the point I want to make on this program. Homeschooling works because the data shows it works, but because it maximizes on the principles in my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, the incredibly important, powerful principles of relationship and individuality and life integration. That's why homeschooling works. And in a moment, we're going to talk with somebody who maximized on these principles, and he was homeschooled, and he won the state geography bee out here in Colorado, won the Virginia bee last year, and he's headed for the National Geography Bee. Antonio is next on Generation. Stay with me. And folks, we're back on Generations. Kevin Swanson here with you today. We have Antonio De La Pena on the line with us. He took first place in the Geography Bee in Colorado just a month or so ago, and he is homeschooled. Antonio, welcome to Generations.
Thanks.
Hey, a question for you. How old are you and what grade are you in?
I'm 14 and in 8th grade.
In 8th grade. Now, you've done this Geography Bee before, right? You're not a newbie on this.
Oh, no. I've done it since 4th grade.
Since 4th grade. Okay. So you won the Colorado tournament, and didn't you succeed before out in, was it Virginia?
Yes, I did. It was last year I won the State Bee of Virginia.
Okay, so you have gone national before. This is the second time you're going to the national tournament. This time you're representing Colorado.
Yes.
Okay. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have 3 sisters and 1 brother.
3 sisters and 1 brother. Now, who's your professional coach? There's got to be a professional coach here who's coaching you through geography all day. Who would be your...
Billy, I don't have a professional coach.
Oh, you don't? Then who is it? Who's helping you through this?
No one.
Just yourself. You're just studying it yourself, huh? All right. So your mom is not the professional coach all day long. She's got other things going on, I assume.
Yes, she does.
Okay. All right. And now a lot of folks are thinking that all you're doing is sitting around studying geography all day. Does your mom have you take out the trash now and then? Are you studying math? Are you doing other things, or is all you're doing is geography all day long?
No, I do other things. In fact, and speaking of taking out the trash, I have to do it pretty much every day, and I still have all my other schoolwork, and I do a lot of other stuff, too.
Why do you think you're winning these tournaments? Do you have a feel for it?
Yes, I do. I have a passion for geography right now, and it's just something I like.
How does it feel when you win the tournament?
Oh, it feels really good. I mean, it's like the best day of your life. But for some reason, the Virginia State Bee, just participating in it was more fun in Virginia, but winning it is more fun in Colorado.
Oh, is it? So when are you going to the national tournament?
May 22nd and 23rd.
Okay, so that's coming right up. Now, it's Alex Trebek that hosts that thing, doesn't it?
He hosts the finals.
And how does that work?
Well, what he does is he reads the questions, and he also, they do a short interview of all the contestants after the first round. I didn't make it to the finals last year, but I'm hoping to win this year.
Okay, and the finals involve how many kids?
10.
10 kids. All right, so when you're up in the finals, you hit the top 10. Now you're in the official B. How long does that take usually?
About an hour.
Okay, now what are you studying right now?
Actually, I just turned the page, and now I'm looking at the four corner states.
Okay. Right, this is the last year for you, so this is your last shot at it, right?
It sure is.
What kind of preparation are you doing right now? Can you give us a feel for what you do on a daily basis? So how many hours a week are you studying geography right now?
I can imagine about 14, 15, 16 hours a week.
And what are you doing? What resources do you use?
Oh, I use the giant atlas from National Geographic, the Atlas of the World. I also have this book on physical geography. Let's see, what else do I got?
Do you have your brothers and sisters quiz you across the dinner table?
Sometimes, not really.
So who quizzes you? Who tests you on this?
Well, actually, the person who coordinated the school bee, her name is Evelyn Hess. She calls me on some nights, usually about 9, and quizzes me for a half an hour.
Oh, wow. And how do you do?
I usually get probably the most I've gotten wrong is about 5.
Okay. Now, what do you want to do when you grow up? You want to be a geography professor?
Maybe. I also want to travel the world, maybe be a doctor.
Okay, now you've had homeschoolers win a lot of bees. In fact, they're winning a lot more bees than they represent in terms of percentages of folks in attending school today. So you've got a lot of homeschoolers winning. What are people saying in these contests when homeschoolers take home the first place awards?
For some reason, homeschoolers always do well in everything. In fact, this year, about 20% of the kids who made it to nationals are homeschooled.
Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive. Are they impressed? Is Alec Trebek impressed when homeschoolers win the National Geography Bee?
Yeah, he is, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's cool. Okay, a couple questions for you. I just want to test your geography knowledge. What's the capital of Mongolia?
Ulaanbaatar.
Oh, that's incredible. You got it. What's the second longest river in the world? Not the first longest, the second longest.
The Amazon. Longest.
The Amazon. You got it. This guy's a genius. Antonio, thank you very much for joining us on Generations. I appreciate it, man.
You're welcome.
And God bless your efforts out in Washington as you take on the National Bee.
Thank you.
Now, folks, what do we say at the beginning of the program? We talked about taking a professional to train our children, to educate our children through K-12 and prepare them for life or to win geography bees. Ladies and gentlemen, I question this again. Does it really take a professional? Ask yourself that question. Again, does it take a professional? Why is it that homeschoolers win the spelling bees, the geography bees, they get the full ride scholarships at a much higher percentage than the national population? Why does it take a professional, and why are people telling us it takes a professional to educate our children when, indeed, God, yeah, the God who invented the world and designed moms and dads, hardwired something into moms and dads to be able to do the job without a four-year teaching degree? Does it take a professional? It does not, because God designed it that way. And because in Deuteronomy 6:7, God says, "You shall teach your children to hear my word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down." God puts it in the lap of parents to do the work. This is normative. This, granted, there are the exceptions, and granted, there is opportunities for delegation here and there. But by and large, the principle is God designed parents to do the job. And that, my friends, is why homeschooling is so incredibly successful. If you want to know what it takes to establish a successful education for your children, that's exactly why I wrote the book Upgrade. Upgrade, the 10 secrets to the best education for your child. If you want a successful education, a good education for your children, you need to understand what the biblical principles behind a good education are all about. And I go to the Word of God for it, because God's really smart. God made us, and God gave us His truth, and He gives us what it takes to raise the next generation. And I bring out these in 10 principles in my book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Children. You can get the book by calling 877-842-CHECK, or go online to kevinswanson.com and click on Upgrade. You need to see what God has to say in His Word about the education of children. And I suggest to you it has a lot more to do with character, with relationships, with life integration, than it does with anything else. Check it out at kevinswanson.com, and you can interact with this program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. Folks, this is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.